And the theme of Ephesians is, I believe, found in Ephesians 3:8, where Paul rejoiced and counted a joy to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we see that these riches of Christ were planned even before time began. You know, God made decisions that would impact the course of history. And these rich blessings were ordained from heaven itself. And verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we're looking at some of the blessings that we have in Christ. And Ephesians chapter 1 reveals some very rich blessings that we have in the grace of God. And what I've tried to do is show you how practical these blessings are for us. All of these wonderful blessings have their origin, we know, in the Lord our God. And God created us, and He made us perfect. But of course, we muddied up the water by our own free will. I believe man has a free will, but he can't choose anything good, because our will is governed by our sinful nature. And that's precisely why we need to be redeemed, because we are all sinners. So today I want to speak about the blessings of redemption. Our key text is Ephesians 1:7. Verse 6, he said, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption." Notice that. That's the word. "We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." What does redemption mean? Well, redemption simply means purchasing and setting something or someone free by paying a price. So what happened is that Christ paid a price for our redemption. I remember as a little boy, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and we moved there from central Pennsylvania. And my father had passed away in 1963, and we moved around a little bit. My mother was a widow, an Army widow. My dad was a career sergeant in the Army, and we were left with nothing. We were left absolutely penniless. In fact, my mother had to hawk her wedding diamond ring so that we could have enough money to get something to eat and to live someplace. And we moved into the housing projects in Lexington, Kentucky, which is one of the worst places that you could ever move to. But we had no choice. That's where we had to go. In other words, I saw fights and riots daily. That was part of my life. But I remember growing up as a little boy, one of the things that we were able to do, and some of you are old enough to, are you old enough to remember green stamps? Some of you aren't. But if you went to the grocery store, you went to some store, usually grocery store, and you bought a certain amount of groceries, they would give you these green stamps. And, you know, you had little booklets that you could paste the stamps in. And you could save those green stamps, and you could buy things. And so we were so poor. And I remember I played baseball. I played Little League baseball. I didn't have a glove. I'd have to catch the ball with my hands. And so we saved enough of those books of green stamps to where I was able to take those green stamps, and I went down to Ben Snyder's store. And I bought I traded them in for a Spalding baseball glove. Man, I tell you, I was happy. And so that's the idea. I redeemed those green stamps to get that baseball glove. I loved to read when I was a kid. I loved books. And I don't think I went wrong with that. But I read books all the time. I was one of those kids at school that you'd find me in the library a lot because I loved to read. And I had a favorite book that I read about every week for years. I'd read this book every week. Finally bought one. I still got it. And that book is called The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. I don't know if you've ever read that book. It's one of the great Mark Twain wrote that, along with Huckleberry Finn. It's one of the great American classics. Well, it's the story of Tom Sawyer. And I think probably Mark Twain was relating his life as a boy growing up in there in Missouri, Hannibal, Missouri. And he spoke about Tom. You know, Tom, he was a fellow, you know, he loved to roam around the woods and go fishing, and he would walk on the fence in front of the Thatcher's house, you know, to show off to Becky Thatcher, who he fell in love with. And while one day they were at school, and Becky Thatcher was wandering around the classroom, and she noticed it and saw the teacher, Mr. Dobbins' top desk drawer was open, and in that drawer was a book on anatomy, which he would read when the class was busy with their projects. The teacher would read that anatomy book. It had a lot of pictures in it. And the students were all entranced about the nature of that book, and Becky has the opportunity to find out what that book contains. She looked in that book, and seeing that no one was around, she removed the book and she opened it, and she was looking at the bodies of anatomy. All of a sudden, a shadow fell across her, and it was Tom Sawyer. Well, she was embarrassed. She didn't want Tom to see her looking at someone's body on the anatomy book, so she hurriedly tried to close the book, but in the process, she tore a page in that book. Well, now she's horrified because of this offense. It will warrant a whipping in front of the entire class. And, of course, she blames Tom. It's your fault. She hurries into her desk. But Tom says, you know, taking a little licking isn't that important. So he decides to let her sweat it out. Well, later in the afternoon, when all the students were working on their homework, Mr. Dobbins, as is custom, removed his anatomy book, and he discovered the torn page. Well, he asked the class, "Who tore my book?" No one volunteered. They knew what would happen. So he begins to question each student, and when he reached Becky Thatcher, she couldn't look at him in the eye. She turned her face, and Mr. Dobbins knew that it was Becky that had torn the page in the book, and he's getting ready to whip her in front of the whole class. But Tom springs to his feet and said, "I did it. I done it. I tore the page." And so Mr. Dobbins, the teacher, administered the most merciless flogging of Tom Sawyer. But Tom was consoled by the look of adoration in Becky's eyes. After the beating, he's forced to remain 2 hours after school, but he doesn't mind because he knows that Becky's going to be waiting for him. And sure enough, she was. Her only words were, "Tom, how could you be so noble? And when I think about what Jesus did, He took a flogging for me. I tore the page. I'm a sinner. But Jesus took my punishment. And I say, Lord Jesus, how could you be so noble to redeem one such as I? You see, Tom, in a very real sense, paid a ransom for Becky's transgression. And friends, that's what Jesus did for us. He paid our ransom. Jesus took our punishment on that cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free from sin. And that is the essence of redemption. Now, as we've already seen, we know that God has chosen a people to redeem. We saw that right in the text here in Ephesians 1:4, where he says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So the Father chose us to be redeemed, to be saved. If you're saved today, my friend, your salvation didn't just start when you trusted Jesus to save you. Your salvation started before you were ever born in the choice of God. So we are redeemed by the blood of the cross. God chose us out of love. It was His good pleasure to redeem us, and it pleased God to adopt us into His family. And we were redeemed from the very bondage of our sinfulness. Verse 5 says that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So, you know, we're redeemed from the bondage of sin, undeserving sinners. We have been chosen by God, and we are by His grace, we've been placed into the family of God. We are predetermined to be His children. And by faith in Jesus, we have become the children of God. But, you know, every human being that has come into this world is born in sin. Did you know that? We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born in sin. And because we're born in sin, to put it mildly, we're slaves of sin. We're in slavery. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus even said that everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. So we're all in the bondage of slavery to our humanity, to our sins, to our lusts, to our dishonesty, and every other foul thing that creeps into our lives, we're sin. But you see, Jesus bought us out of that slave market of sin. He bought us. He purchased us to free us from that slavery. That's redemption. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I think of Matthew 20:28, where our Lord Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So He gave Himself as a ransom. So we are redeemed by Christ. We are, what a blessing to be a redeemed child of God. Now, God has provided a Savior to redeem us. And certainly that's what we see in verse 6. Notice He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I love that. We have been accepted in Christ. We've been accepted in the Beloved. What Jesus is a glorious Savior. And notice that we are accepted by God because of Him, because of what He did for us at the cross. And that's our unchangeable position. You're accepted in Jesus. That'll never change. And the Savior has brought us into that God's acceptance. The Father in heaven loves His beloved Son. And therefore, because He loves His Son, He loves us. Because we're in Him. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. I think the poet expressed it so well when he said, "Near, so very near to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of His Son, I'm just as near as He." Wow. Think about that. So God has forgiven. God forgives the people that He has redeemed. In other words, this redemption brings the believer into a state of complete forgiveness. And that's our text in verse 7. We have redemption. Every one of us that believes, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. If you redeem someone or if you redeem something, you have to pay the ransom price to take it out of that slavery. And that's what Jesus did for us. And He did that by His blood. You know, the Bible says, as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. No, you weren't redeemed by money. Give all the money you want. We'll take it. But that's not going to save you. That's not going to redeem you. No, you need something more than just silver and gold. But He says we're redeemed, notice, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Redeemed by blood. Forgiven. A child of God is forgiven. You see that sticker on a car? I used to see it a lot. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. That's right. None of us are perfect, are we? No, we're all flawed. Sharon, we all got problems. We're a flawed people, sinful people. But thank God through Christ, we're forgiven. Forgiven. Now, what is forgiveness? What does that mean? The word is translated literally as a pardon. The pardoning, parting our sins, letting them go as if they've never been committed. The remission of the penalty. If you go back in the Old Covenant, there was a ritual they did that Israel had to do on the Day of Atonement. The Jewish Day of Atonement, priest would go into the most holy place and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat of God. And that brought pardon or forgiveness for a nation, for national transgressions, for national sins. Now, we can't do that today. You can't bring the blood into the halls of Congress and sprinkle it on. It might do good, I guess, but that's not going to pardon our transgressions. But back in those days, that's what they did. And what they would do, they would take two goats, and of course they would sacrifice one goat, and that was the burnt offering. They would burn that on the altar, and the priest would take the blood of that dead goat, and he'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But there was another goat. There was a second goat. And what did they do? They didn't kill that goat. The priest would come and put his hands on the head of that goat and confess the sins of the nation. And then there was another man that would take that goat way out into the wilderness where it could never find its way back. That was the scapegoat. And that's what redemption means. It's a remission of sin. Christ took our sins totally away into the wilderness where they can never return for us. And you know, maybe The Apostle John had that in mind when he said in John chapter 1, verse 21, when the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And that's what Christ did. He took away our sin to a place uninhabited, to a place where it can never return. Oh, listen, this redemption of Jesus brings us into this state of total and complete forgiveness. And I think this redemption, well, it really reveals the very wisdom of God. You notice here in Ephesians 1 in verse 8, it tells us that, we're redeemed through His blood. Then He said, "Wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself." So this redemption, we would have never... Do you think we could have figured out how to get sin forgiven? If it was up to me, I mean, if this deal had been left up to me and my wisdom, I would have said, "Well, you know, just make sure you're at church every time. Put money in the offering, you know, make sure you pay your tithes and offerings, and be faithful, be obedient, keep the Ten Commandments." That's the way I would have figured it out, right? To be saved and get to heaven. That's man's wisdom. And there are people that still have that wisdom today, but it's not good wisdom. The wisdom of God is that salvation is free. It's by free grace. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm not against that, but you're not going to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven because you can't. This redemption reveals that this is the wisdom of God. God has an amazing plan to save us from sin. Not only that, but God has an amazing plan to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we are blessed as God's people to be part of that awesome plan, that awesome wisdom of God. I know the world gives its own wisdom about sin. Well, they blame it on something else. They blame it on the environment. Why does man do bad things? Well, it's the environment. You know, we just need clean water and air. And we need to ditch the gas cars and get all of us on scooters, I guess, or electric cars or whatever. You know, they blame it on the environment. Man's polluting, and that's why man does bad things. Some people blame it on, that home, if there's rebellious children, that home doesn't have a dad in it, and that's the reason. So they make excuses for a young person to go out and rob and rape and murder somebody. It's the environment of the home. It's not. It's sin. Let's just call it what it is. We can't blame it on anybody else but ourselves. But yet, the wisdom of the world is that it's always somebody else's fault, right? It's always someone else's fault. And they blame everybody. But Paul speaks of the wisdom of God in this awesome redemption. Now, as I've done in the previous few messages here from Ephesians 1, I just want to be practical, and I want us to consider the wonderful blessings of redemption. What are the blessings of being a redeemed child of God? Obviously, I think number one would be that we are forgiven. And we ought to give Jesus the highest praise, even like Mary, that took the precious oil and wiped the feet of Jesus. Jesus said about her, she loved much because she was forgiven of so much. And I think it's true. You're going to love Jesus so much if you've been forgiven of much. We are forgiven. Oh, yes, we are. And the Bible says that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Got to get my bearings in. As far as the east, you can. If you start going west, you'll keep going. You never reach east, you just keep going west, right? And our Lord has removed our sins, forgiven us, as our sins are far away. They can never come back to us. The Bible says in Psalm 103, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As high as the stars. I thought about that, you know, the other day when they sent up that SpaceX rocket. And I took my binoculars and I went out on the parking lot out here and I watched that rocket go up, 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 up. Keep going, keep going. And I watched it. It became just a little dot and eventually disappeared. And I told my wife, I said, Brother Philip probably could see it a whole lot better than we can here. He probably was taking a nap, I imagine. All that. But imagine that. Well, as high as space, higher than the high star, our sins have been forgiven. Now watch this. We're not only forgiven, we're free. Oh yes, we have been set completely free from sin and all of the consequences of that sin. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So says the Word of God. To be free. What a great blessing that is. To be free from all of it. Now, I got to tell you something. I am free from all my sin. How much sin are you free from, Brother Sled? Don't you still commit sins today? Well, yes, I still have this body of flesh, but I'm a Christian, and I still fail, I still sin, but here's the deal. God doesn't count it against me. I'm free from it. I've been forgiven of all my sins of the past. Whew. Growing up in that housing project, I became a criminal. I used to do bad things. I hung out with the wrong people. It's pretty bad. It's a miracle that I'm still alive. I got involved in some bad stuff. I could have been sent to jail. I was involved in thievery and stealing. I robbed stores and stuff, you know, so that I could get my cigarettes. I started that stuff when I was about 12. And all my friends that I grew up with over there, you know, they all went to the state penitentiary for different things. But God had His hand on me. He knew. Free from sins of the past. Don't let the devil trouble you, Christian, about what's in the past. You tell him to get lost. Get thee behind me, Satan. Those are all forgiven. I'm free from that. Hey, listen. Not only are we free from the sins of the past, we're free from the sins of the present. And not only that, but we're set free from the sins of the future. They are all under the redeeming blood of Jesus. We're free. We're forgiven. We are free. Now watch this. We are faultless. We're faultless before God. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe. But it's true. You know, God already knew every sin you'd ever commit. He already knew that. But like the song says, now we are free. There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet call. Come, and he saves us once for all. What an incredible blessing to be free from the condemnation of our sins. You see, the blood of Jesus cleanses us every moment. Now, listen. You say, but I've committed some sins even as a Christian, Pastor. I'm ashamed of some of the things I've done even as a Christian. Well, join the club. I am too, you know. But let me tell you something. This will be a blessing. The devil may even come before the throne of God, as Brother Andy pointed out this morning, and make accusations against. Would you see what that George did? And God has to say, what are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? They're gone. You see, when God the Father looks at you, your soul, he sees Jesus and the perfect righteousness of Christ. Is that what God sees in you? Oh, we're faultless. And then we have faith. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever come to Christ and believed in Him? If you haven't, my friend, that is the most important thing you need today. You need to be saved. You need to trust in Christ as your Savior. And your sins will be forgiven. But I'd leave you with this one final thing. Yes, we are forgiven and we're free and we're faultless and we have faith. But you know what? Because of this redemption, we have fellowship. Because of the redemption of Christ, you know, I can approach God and I can have fellowship with God. I have access to His throne. I can come anytime, 24 hours a day. I can come before the throne of God because I've been redeemed. I'm one of His beloved sons. You see, as a believer in Jesus, I've been completely reconciled to God. As Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Christ went to a cross to give His blood, to shed His blood to redeem us and forgive us of sin. But that's not the end of the story. My friend, He was buried in a tomb, but He rose again. That's His life. I'm saved by His cross, and I'm saved by His life, by His glorious resurrection. Nothing's ever going to change that. You may be here, you may be like that prodigal son that Jesus talked about. You know, Jesus gave a story of the prodigal son. You know what it is? Some of you do. Jesus told that story about this son that was rebellious. He was a rebel. He didn't like the way things were going at dad's house. So he went to his dad and he said, give me all the money that's coming to me. Give me my inheritance early. I don't want to wait till you die. Give it all to me now. Well, the dad reluctantly said, okay, I'll give you your money. And as soon as he got that money in his hand, you know what he did? He skedaddled out of that house as quick as he could. The Bible says he went off into a very far country. And he decided, I've had enough of this strict upbringing. I've had enough of this church business. I've had enough of what Daddy's tried to teach me and so on. It's time for me to spread my wings and fly. It's time for me to live it up. It's party time. And boy, did he ever party. He had his friends. He spent money on liquor and lust and all the things that people do. And finally, all the money was gone. That happens. And so when the money's gone, where are the friends? They're gone too. And he finally found himself sitting in a hog pen eating hog scraps. And the Bible says he came to himself. Brother Rob, he had a moment of clarity. You know what I mean? He had a moment of clarity. And he said, what am I doing? I've got a home and a father that loves me. I'm going to get out of this hog pen. I'm going to go back home. I don't know whether Dad will accept me again. But if he doesn't, I'll just be willing to work as his servant. So he went back home. And as he's getting near the house, here comes the father running out toward him. And that father put his arms around him. You know why? He'd already forgiven him. He was already redeemed. You know, he never ceased to be the loving father, even though the son had rebelled. Friends, if you're saved, you might be living in rebellion against God today. You might be involved in some things you shouldn't be. But if you're truly saved, God still loves you. You're still His child. And you can always come back home. Amen. Father, I just thank you so much for the redemption that is in Christ. We're redeemed by your blood, saved and forgiven, set free. But all so often, Lord, we tend to go back to the old life, the old ways. But we always find out that it never worked out like we thought. I'm so glad we can come back home. I'm so glad that you continue to love us even though we fail in so many ways. Oh Lord, I pray you'd save sinners for Jesus' sake, and I pray that backsliders would come home. Grant it, I pray, for Jesus' sake and for His glory. Amen. God bless you all.